I'm fascinated by the text that we find in Matthew chapter 19. It's a text where Jesus is put to the test with regard to the matter of divorce. And you remember the question is raised whether one can divorce for any cause whatsoever. When Jesus answers that, he makes it clear that marriage is absolutely permanent and it ought never to be broken. And that's when the disciples come up with a rather interesting and surprising remark. They say to Jesus, then maybe it's better not to marry at all. I guess they would agree with Mark Twain on that point. And Jesus answers in a way that makes it clear that he is speaking seriously and he doesn't seek to correct them, but instead he goes on to say, that's why some men are voluntarily eunuchs, because they have purposed not to marry. So there is a time when one ought to consider marriage so seriously that they actually may not marry because of the consequences of the permanence of that commitment. And so one of the reasons why it's so important to deal with pre-marriage counseling is that we need to prepare people to determine whether or not this is a marriage which they are willing to commit to for the rest of their lives. And Jesus has a lot to say about vows and the keeping of vows and the breaking of them. He says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And he does that in the context of marriage and divorce. And he also says to us that we ought to count the cost. Now, I understand that it's a little different because he's talking about discipleship, but we need to count the cost of what it means to marry. So it's very important that we approach the subject of marriage realizing the significance. This is a lifelong commitment that has great impact on a couple and on others. The need for this, I think, is even greater now than it has been in the past. I call it pre-marriage preparation, and I believe it is that. You look at the divorce rate in the church, it's alarming and it's distressing. And indeed, it's acceptable within many professing Christian communities. That is disturbing. Feminism has come along and there's a blurring of sexual roles and gender roles, and that is a problem for Christian marriage. There is sexual immorality, premarital sex, and pornography are two of the things that can literally be destructive to a marriage relationship. And so it is necessary to deal with those things ahead of marriage for the sake of the couple and for the kingdom of God. There is rape and sexual abuse that greatly impacts the lives of a married couple. And that needs to be explored if indeed it is a factor. Homosexuality and all kinds of gender issues have now come to the surface. We need to deal with those at the front end of a relationship so that there is not a disaster. And so that's why we have what we call a marriage preparation program. I should add a footnote to that, because I think there also needs to be in these days a pro-marriage preparation program. It is very distressing to me to see Christians holding back from marriage. Often young men want to be boys rather than men, and they fail to assume leadership roles, and they fail to make the commitment to be a husband as they ought to be and a leader in their family. That is disturbing. I think one of the reasons that that is the case is because there is a faith problem. I think many people look at the failure rate of marriages and they're afraid to get into a marriage for fear that it won't work or that they'll be stuck with it for the rest of their lives. That's a faith issue. Do we trust God to work in such a way that He will make us godly in the midst of our marriage? And the second is a servanthood problem. It's easy to be selfish, but to be a servant changes one's perspective. And it's interesting that whether you choose to be single or to marry, servanthood is the issue in both cases. A husband ought to be a servant to his wife, and a wife a servant to her husband. And one who stays single, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, is one who does so they can more effectively serve others and serve the Lord without distraction. So let me talk about the purpose of the pre-marriage preparation program that we have in our church and what its purposes are. It seeks to delay impulsive marriages. One of the things that happens is people get married on impulse, and we think people need to be given time to reflect and to make a careful decision about whether to marry. Our process requires a certain amount of time, several months in general terms, before we will be willing to marry a couple who asks us to do so. It also serves as a filter. There are a lot of people who want to have the preacher, so to speak, bless their wedding, and they want a church wedding, but they're not willing to go with all that comes with it. And so anyone who comes to us and asks us to perform a marriage, we say to them, here is the process through which we require you to go. There's the opportunity for evangelism in a premarital program, because couples may come, and they may come even assuming that they are saved, and asking them about their faith may provide the occasion to share the gospel. And I have heard of occasions in which an unsaved mate was actually brought to the Lord as a result of the pre-marriage program. Then there's the area of discipleship, causing people to grow in their relationship with the Lord. That should happen in the context of marriage. You want to establish long-term habit patterns whereby a husband and a wife worship the Lord and serve Him together. So we want the couple in this process to make a calculated and a thoughtful decision about whether or not marriage is God's will for them, and to understand the permanence of the commitment which they're about to make. We want them to have a realistic view of marriage and of the spiritual life, and we want them to have realistic expectations about what that should look like. They need to understand that marriage is not primarily for happiness, but for holiness, and that happiness comes as a result of those things. And we want to also surface issues that are critical to the ongoing of that marriage. And I say here, many couples are not very eager to share and to divulge the information which may be absolutely essential, not only to a good premarital preparation program, but to their lives. Some incident in one party's life that perhaps they have not shared with their mate could prove to be destructive to that relationship in later times. And so we want to deal with that in a way that is effective. So here's how the program works. The church establishes a policy which says no one authorized by our church can marry someone except they go through a pre-marriage counseling program. If it's in our church, it would be our program. If it's in another church, it needs to be a program that we approve of. And also, if it's another officiant, we need to approve of that officiant as one who would be true to the gospel and would do according to the Word of God. The church then prepares a pre-marriage program and curriculum, and they train couples to do that program, to carry out that program with couples who wish to be married. So an outside couple usually wants to have either the preacher in their mind do the ceremony, or they want the building in which to do the ceremony. And we say to that couple, here's the process by which that has to take place. And that is an essential in the whole pre-marriage program that we have. An inside couple, somebody who's inside the church, generally will ask one of the leaders in the church to marry them, and they then refer them to the church office. The church office refers them to our pre-marriage coordinator, and that person selects the couple and matches them up for the pre-marriage sessions. The first session, I believe, is the most vital session. And that's the one that I want to talk about in our next segment, is that first pre-marriage session where the couples get to know each other and there is a probing that takes place that shapes the next steps of the pre-marriage process.